Montgomery of Fillmore Street. This is BuiltBy.com, The Week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from San Francisco's GUI Center, the Lower Haight. Today is Thursday, the 11th of June. On this date in 1184 BC, spoiler alert, Troy is sacked and burned, concluding the Trojan War. 1776, Congress appoints Thomas Jefferson of Virginia, John Adams of Massachusetts, Ben Franklin of Pennsylvania, and two other guys to draft the Declaration of Independence. The first draft, by the way, condemning Britain for introducing slavery to the U.S. colonies, pulled from later drafts. 1788, Russian explorer Gerasim Ismailov reaches Alaska. 1942, the United States agrees to send lend-lease aid to the Soviet Union. 1963, John F. Kennedy faces down defiant Governor George Wallace over the integration of the University of Alabama. 1967, the Six-Day War ends with a ceasefire, with Israel controlling all of Jerusalem, Gaza, and the West Bank. 1971, the U.S. government forcibly removes the last holdouts to the Native American occupation of Alcatraz, ending 19 months of control. 1986, a famous movie came out. Anyone? Anyone? Ferris Bueller's Day Off. 2008, Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper apologizes to Canada's First Nations. Birthdays are Jacques Cousteau, Vince Lombardi, Gene Wilder, and Peter Dinklage. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, the podcast is written by Ari Suyeka. My Georgian Journal and Kritis Politra column this week is about the Turkish elections. They are big, and if you don't know what happened, you should. Short version, good for women, good for Kurds, good for gay people, good for tolerance, good for Turkey. Thanks again for those posting on our forum an interesting viewpoint on Nikush Urrua's Red Intelligentsia piece, saying that the UNM was so critical of that group of society, but the group included so many of their parents and families, which is surely true. Take a look in last week's link for the pithy comments. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tbealpod.com or send us an email at tbealpod@gmail.com. On the 4th of June, Bidzina Ivanishvili revealed that he once planned to arrest Georgi Kadagidze, the head of the National Bank, due to personal business, but that he changed his mind by request of the International Monetary Fund. Wow. He recalled details of a closed meeting he had with IMF representative while he was prime minister. He claims that the IMF representative said that while they, quote, know that Kadagidze has to be arrested, maybe you could forgive him, end quote. And that BI responded, what is personal I can do, end quote, said the godfather, and that he suspended proceedings of the appeal at the prosecutor general's office, because that's just totally normal for the prime minister to call up the prosecutor and say, hey, lay off, lads. The story involves when BI was campaigning with the Georgian Dream Coalition before the October 12th parliamentary elections. After BI first entered politics, Misha's government brought in tougher rules for party financing, which created difficulties for BI, including fines totaling $80 million. At first, BI refused to pay the fines. All of his shares in Kartu Bank and part of his shares in Progress Bank were seized. The government appointed its own representative to manage the seized shares at Kartu Group and Progress Bank. Later, BI paid the fines, but as soon as he came to power, the money was returned to him from the state, and his representatives took control over Kartu Bank. However, after BI was open that he resented the National Bank's president, since the removal of the head of his own bank happened through the interference of the National Bank. This is a complicated situation, and it was true that at that time in 2012, the National Movement were freaking out at the billions that Ivanishvili had, and they tried to hit him through the bank. On the other hand, it could be argued that that bank was politically involved and was an instrument being used by Ivanishvili politically. So whether or not the National Bank was being biased or taking orders is a complicated question. The IMF representative to Georgia, Azim Sadikov, responded to BI's comments in a letter on the 5th of June saying that the fund cannot take a view on issues related to justice and a person's relations with the law. The statement also says that violating the independence of the National Bank would weaken the institutions, undermine the credibility of its monetary and financial sector policies, and threaten investor confidence. Sadikov also expressed concern about the recent initiative by government amending legislation take away the national bank's responsibility for monitoring the banking system. As I have written about, the same day the World Bank regional director for the South Caucasus commented that the World Bank is very satisfied with the monetary policy and the activities carried out by the national bank. The head of the National Bank, Kadagidze, also responded on the 5th of June that the ongoing mudslinging campaign against the central bank is damaging the country and called for focusing on tackling economic problems instead of blaming. And as a note, 2 days before BI's revolution that he held back on arresting Kadagidze, the deputy chief prosecutor said that the prosecutor's office is investigating the activities of the National Bank regarding the depreciation of the lari, and that it's possible that Kadagidze may be summoned for questioning, which is, of course, complete BS that the prosecutor's office should look at Kadagidze related to the lari devaluation, and illustrates that it is completely BI's personal issue with Kadagidze. 9 months after tightening visa laws, Georgia has restored the one-year visa-free rules for citizens of about 100 countries. Under the rules introduced on the 1st of September 2014, foreign citizens were able to stay in Georgia without a visa for 90 days in any 180-day period. But in early May 2015, the parliament passed amendments to the law that made it possible to extend the visa-free stay from 90 days to 1 year. The government was responsible for compiling the list of eligible countries. The list was published on the State Online Registry Acts on the 8th of June under Resolution Number 255 and goes into immediate effect. It's signed by Prime Minister Garibashvili. The list includes EU and NATO member states as well as members of the CIS. Among other countries on the list are, get ready, Argentina, Australia, Antigua and Barbuda, Barbados, Belize, Brazil, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Bahamas, Bahrain, Brunei, Botswana, Colombia, Costa Rica, Dominican Republic, Ecuador, El Salvador, Honduras, Israel, Japan, Kuwait, Lebanon, Malaysia, Mexico, Montenegro, Mauritius, New Zealand, Oman, Panama, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Serbia, Seychelles, Singapore, South Africa, South Korea, St. Vincent, and the Grenadines, Switzerland, Turkmenistan, Thailand, and the United Arab Emirates. They note that citizens of the EU member states can enter Georgia with an identity card issued by EU member states, so presumably with no passport. Wow. It has to contain their name, surname, date of birth, and it must have a photo. Following up on Georgian officials in Ukraine, Ukraine media outlet Union.net reported that Gyalor Kipanidze may be appointed as head of the Interior Ministry Department in Odessa. He was deputy interior minister under Misha. At first, Union.net doesn't name its source, but writes that the information comes from a law enforcement body in Odessa. Then, on the 9th of June, Misha, as governor of Odessa, confirmed Lord Kipanidze's appointment, said that the Ukrainian Interior Minister Arsen Avakov agreed to it. Lord Kipanidze was one of the leading figures in the August 2012 Lapankuri Special Operation, otherwise known as a giant cluster fumble. And as a reminder, over the past week, there has been reports that Misha's former Justice Minister Zuda Adeshvili may become the new chief prosecutor of Odessa, but reports have not been officially confirmed. Adeshvili is wanted in Georgia and is subject to Interpol red alert for a year, but recently Interpol removed him from the list of wanted persons. Adeshvili gave a long interview to Rustaviotti this week where he talked about UNM and some of their mistakes. He said the way they made the prison system was a mistake, that it was a wrong decision to revoke BI's citizenship in 2011, that they made a mistake by not investing in reforming the courts. He also said he thinks the UNM will come back to power and with Misha. He said he plans to come back to Georgia, but won't get involved in politics. I saw a summary of the interview. It's interesting. He was certainly a very quiet and powerful figure in Georgia for many years. I have to say his apology didn't really do a whole lot for me. He made it sound like not reforming the courts was sort of an oversight or we didn't quite have the budget for it. They were busy with other things or something like that, which is, of course, ridiculous. When actually they and he personally went to great lengths to be sure that the courts were not independent and that those judges that were at all independent were removed because the whole system was based on holding people to ransom, which they euphemistically and frustratingly called plea bargaining. Because the individuals concerned knew that they would be convicted if they went to trial and could not get, no matter how preponderant the evidence was in their favor, they knew they could not get a fair trial. So control of the judges was key, and they made sure of that. So fairly underwhelming apology. Following up on last week's story, the Georgian Dream ruling coalition announced its proposal on reforming the electoral system after a meeting on Friday evening, the 5th of June, that BI attended. Dr. Usubashvili explained that BIA was present upon their request. The proposal involves maintaining the mixed proportional majoritarian system for the 2016 parliamentary elections, meaning the same as their current system, but it does envisage replacing the current rule of a plurality vote to elect majoritarian MPs in single mandate constituencies with a majority vote. Under the existing rule, a majoritarian MP candidate who receives at least 30% of the vote is declared an outright winner of the race. It used to be 50%. The national movement changed it to 30% when Ugulava was running against Alassania for the mayor's race several years ago and was polling at 32%, and they were worried about Alassania. It was an incredibly cynical thing for them to do. The Georgian Dreams proposal is to increase the threshold required to 50%, which is definitely an important thing to do. The second round of the race should be held if none of the candidates get more than 50%. The proposal also entails redrawing existing single-mandate constituencies in order to address the large disparity among election districts. The details of how to redraw these districts is incredibly important, and I hope that they will do it right. As a reminder, last month, the Constitutional Court said in a ruling that the large disparity was undermining the equality of votes. After the meeting, Parliamentary Speaker Dr. Usubashvili commented that, quote, drastic changes are not desirable when elections are already at the doorstep. He did, however, say that the Georgian Dream is ready to propose scrapping the majoritarian system for elections that will be held after 2016. It will require a constitutional amendment. Georgian Dream lawmaker Dr. Bertinashvili said that the ruling coalition plans to table the relevant constitutional amendments in the coming days. Speaking after the meeting, Prime Minister Karabashvili said that the proposed changes represent the agreed position of the parliamentary majority group, but after the meeting, lawmaker Ani Mirotadze of the National Forum, also part of the coalition, said that her party maintains the position that the majoritarian component should be scrapped and elections in 2016 should be held solely based on the proportional party list system. NGOs such as ISPED, GILA, and TI Georgia released a joint statement saying that this proposed electoral system reform that addresses existing problems only partially and called on the authorities to carry out a comprehensive reform without delay before the next parliamentary elections in 2016. We've talked about this on the podcast quite a bit in the past, and if Usubashvili has agreed that there will be no multi-member constituencies, then it will probably not happen. But a plan to pass amendments now to come into force in 2020 seems like a reasonable plan to me, if that's the best that they can do. If, however, they don't pass constitutional amendments to do that, I would hope that everybody will refuse to vote and they will keep the current electoral boundaries with the enormous disparity of voters per constituency, because that is unfair, but they need a comprehensive electoral reform. And as I have said a gazillion times before, multi-member constituencies are the way to do it. I just hope that somebody, like, for example, the U.S. government or USAID or somebody else, will bring in some serious electoral boundary people to tell them how to do that fairly, because, as we know, in the U.S. House of Representatives districting process, it can be incredibly unfair and can completely stack the deck against an opposition party. Foreign direct investment in Georgia fell by 34% to $175 million in the first quarter of 2015 compared to the same quarter a year ago, according to preliminary data released by Geostat. While there is a significant increase in FDI in some sectors, such as transport and communication, construction, and hotels, the banking and real estate sectors recorded negative FDI inflows with $18 million and $10 million less, respectively. Most of the FDI came from Azerbaijan with $59 million, a 25.5 year-on-year increase in the first quarter of 2015, followed by Turkey with $27 million, a 10% year-on-year decline, Russia with $23 million, and $22 million came from companies registered in the Netherlands, which usually means Russians. Following up on the lari, price of one U.S. dollar has officially become 2.255 lari. The National Bank of Georgia set a new exchange rate as of the 11th of June, $1 is officially 2.255 lari. The previous rate was 2.2706, so the lari is slightly gaining value. According to the new exchange rate, the lari has also gained value against the euro from the 11th of June. €1 will cost 2.5461 lari, while the previous rate was 2.5549. Government has selected two consortia that will move through into the final phase of bidding on the design, construction, operation of the deep sea port in Anaklia. One of the bidders is a consortium of Anaklia Industrial Eco Park and Port, which is a company founded by Georgian businessman Temuraz Kacharaba and the Chinese state-owned Power Construction Corporation of China, known as Power China. The other bidder is Anaklia Development Consortium, a venture launched specifically for this purpose by TBC Bank Supervisory Board Chairman Mamuka Khazaradze in cooperation with U.S. company Conti Group, a developer and builder of capital asset projects. The government said on the 9th of June that the two consortia are now expected to submit their final offers. The winner will have to launch construction of the port by the spring of 2016. There were originally 12 bidders, seven of which were shortlisted in January 2015, then narrowed down again into these two groups. According to the government requirements, a deep-sea port in Anaklia should have the capacity to handle 12 million tons of cargo initially and gradually increase its capacity to at least 40 million tons in 12 years. In terms of standard containers, the target of 40 million tons of mixed cargo is about 3 million 20-foot equivalent units, or TEUs. The ports of Poti and Batumi are only capable of handling feeder vessels carrying a maximum of 1,700 containers. Larger Panamax-sized vessels with Georgia-bound cargo use other ports in the region, mostly Istanbul, where containers are reloaded to feeder ships, which are then transported to Poti and Batumi. On the 8th of June, Prime Minister Kharabashvili commented that the jury trial system in Georgia has suffered a complete failure and should be revised. The remarks come amid debate after the jury in a murder trial failed to reach a verdict after 13 hours of deliberation on the 5th of June. The case concerns the murder of a young man who was shot down in Vakhe in September 2014. The man accused of murder will now face a new trial before a different jury. The family of the victim has launched a campaign against the jury trial system and demanded the case be tried by a judge. Jury trials are established in the Constitution and a lengthy, complicated process of procedures will be required. To change it under the law, jury trials have only limited application, covering only a few crime categories, among them aggravated murder. Jury trials only apply in Tbilisi and Kutaisi appellate courts. So far, jury trials have only held in a total of 10 cases since the system was introduced 5 years ago. The main accused of the Vakhe murder is in pretrial detention since he was arrested on the 10th of September 2014. The 9-month limit on pretrial detention will expire this month. The prosecutor's office said that it has brought new charges against the man and will seek to renew pretrial detention, since renewing pretrial detention is one of the great national pastimes of government employees in Georgia now. The new charges are not related to the murder and involve accusations of giving false testimony while in pretrial detention. Well, how convenient. The prosecutor's office claims that the man falsely accused a prison guard of assaulting him. Oh, that's just bad. Gaila has slammed the prime minister's remarks on the future of the jury system as a violation of the presumption of innocence. The group also said that the move by the prosecutor's office to bring new charges just after the prime minister's remarks triggers serious questions, or actually answers serious questions, about the independence of the prosecutor's office, and that the new charges appear to be the prosecutor's attempt to keep the accused behind bars. Can't be. The group has also warned that filing criminal charges in connection to allegations voiced by a detainee over alleged mistreatment by a prison guard represents a dangerous precedent, an incredibly dangerous precedent. So the background on jury trials is that the national movement, the senior leadership of the national movement loved the idea that it would be giving responsibility to the people and dealing with the corrupt judiciary and all of that. But the fact of the matter is the system that they set of complete control over the judiciary in order to implement the ransoming system that filled the prisons with people. They first amended the criminal code so that everything was a 10-year sentence, and then they offered everybody a plea bargain, pay $5,000-$10,000, say that you're guilty and you only serve a year or nothing. Also, you have to give some information about some neighbors or somebody else who did something or didn't do something or whatever else. And everybody would take that deal because they know they would be convicted. And if there were lots of people that went to juries, aside from it being difficult to administer, then a lot of people might get off and they might start to take their chances with a jury, especially since so many of those people had quite winning cases that they just knew they couldn't win. So it sort of was a dilemma for the leadership of the UNM, which is why it was only in certain cases, only appellate courts, only Tbilisi and Kutaisi. Chen Shaxi, the vice chairman of the Standing Committee of China's National People's Congress, was on a three-day visit to Georgia this week. He's the highest-ranking Chinese legislator to visit Georgia. He met with President Mark Velashvili, Prime Minister Garibashvili, and Parliamentary Speaker Dato Usubashvili in Tbilisi on the 8th of June. He also visited the Hualing Group's office and investments in Georgia. They built the Tbilisi Sea New City and had a tour of wineries in Kakheti. In its new annual report on foreign police activities, the Russian Foreign Ministry said that Georgia's, foreign policy activities, the same old Russian Foreign Ministry said that Georgia's NATO and EU aspirations are among the issues which deter the full-fledged normalization of bilateral relations between Moscow and Tbilisi. The Georgian Foreign Ministry responded that the report makes it clear that Georgia's foreign policy course remains a major irritant for Russia and that any state has a sovereign right to choose alliances, except Russian neighbors, according to Russia. Foreign Minister Tomiko Berdyshvili was on an official visit to Montenegro, a charming, beautiful little Russian colony in the Balkans. On the 4th and 5th of June, it was the first official visit of Georgia's foreign minister to Montenegro. She met with the president, speaker of parliament, prime minister, minister of foreign affairs, and defense minister. They discussed visa-free travel and free trade agreements. Prime Minister Garibashvili arrived in Baku on the 11th of June to attend the opening ceremony of the inaugural European Games. He met with Azerbaijani President Ilham Aliyev. 105 Georgian athletes will compete in the first European Games, which will begin on the 12th of June. As a note, the British newspaper The Guardian reported that their journalist was denied entry into Azerbaijan to report on the games, and earlier this week, the OSCE was kicked out of Azerbaijan. According to an OSCE spokesman, authorities informed them that they intended to close the Baku office and that they have 1 month to pack up shop. No explanation was given why. It is shameful that these games are being held there. I hope no listeners are going unless it is to cover what is really happening there. Main sponsor, Procter & Gamble, for those of you buying cosmetics and soap and Procter & Gamble stuff. Send them an email or tweet them. On the 8th of June, Corporal Ramaz Davitaya died in a military hospital in Gori from injuries sustained almost 3 years ago while serving in NATO's ISAF mission in Afghanistan. This brings Georgia's military Afghanistan death toll to 30. Corporal Davitaya was badly injured on the 20th of June, 2012 in Helmand Province. NATO's Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg is planning his first official visit to Georgia. The date isn't set yet, but it's supposed to be as soon as possible. As a reminder, Defense Minister Tiniko Khidashely visited Brussels on the 2nd of June, where she met with the NATO Secretary General. At the time, she said Stoltenberg would probably time his visit to coincide with the opening of the NATO-Georgian Joint Training and Evaluation Center. On the 8th to the 10th of June, Tbilisi hosted the annual NATO Strategic Military Partnership Conference. It included chiefs of defense of NATO member countries and partner nations and allows them to discuss defense sector development and future challenges facing the alliance. Georgian soldiers are participating in the U.S.-led NATO naval exercises in the Baltic Sea from the 5th to the 19th of June. 14 NATO allies, plus Georgia, Finland, and Sweden, are part of the naval BALTOPS exercise. NATO website reported that overall 49 ships, 61 aircraft, one submarine, and a combined amphibious landing force are included in the drills too. Total of 5,600 troops are involved. On the 10th of June, Tbilisi hosted a senior member of the Saudi ruling family, Prince Al-Walid bin Talal bin Abdulaziz Al-Saud, at the invitation of Prime Minister Garibashvili. Speaking at a briefing after their meeting, the Saudi prince said that financial interests are the reason for his visit to Georgia and not the wine, and that he looks forward to investing in Georgia. Prime Minister Garibashvili said that the Saudi prince plans to send a delegation to Georgia in the nearest future. Bitfury, which is a Bitcoin blockchain infrastructure provider and transaction processing company, has announced that it's acquired a privatized land plot in Tbilisi's Guldani district to develop the Georgian Technology Park project. It will build a mega data center, I assume Bitcoin mining center, with up to 100 megawatt energy capacity to process transactions using its latest generation 28nm and the upcoming 16nm ASIC chips, whatever that means. They currently have a data center in Gori, developed a cooperation in cooperation with the Georgian Co-Investment Fund. Bitcoin is an interest of George Kikvadze, the managing director of the partnership fund, who's done a bunch of agro stuff in Ukraine, but also likes Bitcoin. The ruling Georgian Dream Coalition wants to create a new minister post in government, a mountain minister. One of the coalition's lawmakers, Guy Giorgioliani, said on the 10th of June that they are in consultations with the executive government. While not many details are known, he said that there will be a special state minister post to guarantee the enforcement of laws and support the development of the country's mountainous regions. Meanwhile, the government has finished working on a mountain law which aims at assisting the population living in mountain regions, like encouraging small businesses. The bill has been approved by the cabinet and has been submitted to parliament for review. In a TV interview, Defense Minister Tino Kohidashelli claimed that the previous government spent millions from the Defense Ministry's budget to purchase a device to allegedly spy on BI's residents. She said the ministry now wants to sell the device, but it's difficult to find a buyer since only a country with paranoid desires would want it. Kohidashelli said once installed, the very large device is capable of listening, watching, and recording. Georgia opened a consulate in the Kingdom of Denmark in Horsens City in the Jutland region. The honorary consul is Marion Bowles. At the beginning, the Georgian ambassador to Denmark stressed the already close business ties between Horsens and Umbralauri in Racha, evidently. 23-year-old Corporal Temur Dadiani, a double amputee, broke his own world record for planche push-ups on the 7th of June. Corporal Dadiani lost both his legs in 2011 while serving in the ISAF mission in Afghanistan. He managed to do 44 push-ups in 1 minute, 8 more than his previous record set last year and recorded by the Guinness Book of World Records. It took place at Freedom Square in connection with a charity marathon called We Win Together, held in support of people with disabilities and war veterans. A $40 million Leo Grand Hotel opened in Batumi this week. The hotel has 180 rooms, conference halls, restaurants, clubs, spa center, and will employ 700 people. It was supported by a Turkish investor, but no specifics on who that is. Another hotel is under construction in Batumi, the $50 million Orbi Beach Tower, which will boast 1,000 rooms when completed. The hotel is due to open in October 2016. It's being built by Orbi Group, a Russian group specializing in Batumi investments. On that note of Batumi, last weekend, police busted 5 hotels and clubs serving as brothels in Batumi. 7 people were detained. A video was posted on the police.ge website showing the detainees being led off by officers out of nightclubs and to the police station, but with their faces blurred. Women, presumably the prostitutes, are there as witnesses. A week earlier, 5 people were detained in Tbilisi on similar charges. 2 Georgian sailors were injured in a ship accident in the Caspian Sea. One has been transferred to Switzerland for specialist medical treatment for a severe head injury. According to the Marine Transport Agency, a self-propelled barge crashed into a catamaran at night. The Kazakh company that owns the ship took full responsibility for the treatment of the injured sailors. Prime Minister Khadabashvili suggested naming the Tbilisi airport after Shota Rustaveli in connection with Rustaveli's 850-year anniversary, which will be marked next year. The airport is currently called Alexeyevka, which is the name of the neighborhood, but is commonly known as Tbilisi International Airport. 2013, Tbilisi City Council discussed naming the airport after Zviad Gamzakhordia, but the proposal did not pass. Ukrainian airline Yan Air is renewing flights between Kiev and Tbilisi for the summer season. The Kiev-Tbilisi-Kiev flight will be carried out twice a week. They're also flying to Batumi twice a week. From the 3rd of July, 3 times a week, Georgian Airways will fly once per week to Novosibirsk, Russia's third largest city, from the 14th of June. Music festival Kazantip, which took place in Anaklia, Georgia in 2014, might return this year to Crimea, but with a different name. Media outlet Lenta.ru quotes Nikita Marchionuk, the founder of Kazantip Republic, saying that Kazantip will still be in Popovka, Crimea, from the 31st of July to the 16th of August. Only those who register to participate in the festival will be able to learn the details. However, there will be a festival held in Anaklia. Gemfest, which will be from the 30th of July to the 7th of August, the Georgian version electronic music festival is supported by the government and is the initiative of Georgi Sigua, the former head of the National Tourism Agency. Ministry of Economy is working on modifying the country's profit tax rules with the main goal of liberalizing Georgia's profit tax. They may use an Estonian model as a guide. Detailed information about the changes will be announced in September 2015. FC Barcelona and Sevilla FC will compete in the second straight all-Spanish UEFA Super Cup. It will be held in Tbilisi at Dinamo Arena on the 11th of August. According to the president of the Georgian Football Federation, tickets will be affordable and will cost 16.35 or 69 lari, depending on where you're sitting. Tickets will be sold on the official UEFA website from July 2015. About 40,000 tickets will be open to Georgian fans, while the remaining 15,000 will go to UEFA officials and fans of participating teams. And Portugal's national football team is in Georgia preparing for the European Championship qualifying match against Armenia. They'll play against Armenia on the 13th of June in Yerevan, but they arrived in Tbilisi on the 7th of June and are training at the Michal Meschi Stadium. Cristiano Ronaldo is among them. The Tbilisi State Puppet Theater was awarded the grand prize at the UNIMA International Festival of Puppet Theaters in Yerevan, Armenia last week. The festival aimed to promote peace and intercultural dialogue was dedicated to the 70th anniversary of UNESCO. Georgian theater troupe performed the famous national children's story, What a Lullaby Did. Georgian President's Reserve Fund has financed the creation of the Abkhazian Virtual Archives at www.ava.ge, which is a web-based database storing information about Abkhazia. They are also collecting family archives. In parliamentary news, on the 10th of June, Parliament failed to hold a session due to lack of a quorum. At least 76 MPs were required for the session to be opened. Opposition lawmakers from UNM and the Free Democrats refused to undergo registration. They said the move was in protest against Georgian Dream's ruling coalition's electoral system reform proposal, as explained earlier, which they say does not meet the opposition's desired reforms, and that the majority doesn't speak with them about it. So, only 72 lawmakers underwent registration, even though the Georgian Dream's parliamentary majority group has 86 members. Some of them were absent. A group of civil society organizations submitted a bill to parliament envisaging setting mandatory quotas for women in parliament. It aims at increasing the share of female legislators in the next parliament to at least 25%. Currently, there are 17 female lawmakers, accounting for 11.3% of the 150-seat parliament. The bill was drafted by the Task Force on Women's Political Participation, a coalition of local and international organizations that advocate gender equality and women's political participation. The proposal offers introducing a zipper system where male and female candidates appear alternately on party lists. 77 seats in the parliament are allocated based on proportional party list system, and 73 seats are distributed to majoritarian members of parliament from single mandate constituencies. The proposal also offers to apply the same zipper system to party lists in local elections. Legislation has financial incentives for parties to include more women on their list of candidates. But according to the Task Force on Women's Political Participation, the incentive has failed to address the underrepresentation of women in parliament. The meme this week is a video going around Facebook of a pink-haired girl going around Rustaveli Street in central Tbilisi. She approaches random guys on the street and asks them, "Do you want to feel positive today?" And if they say yes, she makes out with them on the spot. It's from the show Bina 18, which is on GDS TV, has over 40,000 views in 2 days and another 17,000 elsewhere. It's interesting, but I'm not really sure of the point. A video from Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, talking to people in Pankisi Gorge about going to fight abroad. One man says that young people go fight for romantic medieval notions of dying in battle, and that daily life in Pankisi otherwise is meaningless and nothing advances. This and others will be posted in the forum. Moscow Times op-ed on Poroshenko's Misha in Odessa gamble. Another piece on Misha's appointment to Odessa from The Observer, the author Lincoln Mitchell, formerly co-director of NDI with me back in the day, and now closely identified with the Georgian Dream. He says that Misha's appointment to Odessa is bad for all sorts of reasons. And the economist on Misha and Odessa, they say that it was a purposeful move to insult Putin. NPR explores some Kvevri wine, and CRC looks at press freedom in Georgia in comparison with recent EU member states such as Romania, Hungary, and Poland. All these things to read are posted on our forum. This week's geocapital number is 13. This is the number of countries that had their visa waiver with Georgia scrapped in the September 2014 visa law, but that are still absent in the list of countries whose citizens can enter Georgia without visas. Interesting which countries these are. They are Bolivia, Chile, Cuba, Guatemala, Paraguay, Peru, Uruguay, Dominica, Trinidad and Tobago, St. Kitts and Nevis, Suriname, and San Lucia. Latin American and Caribbean countries, not sure why. Amidani Cinema is playing Jurassic World from the 12th to the 17th of June at 7:35 p.m. British Georgian Society is holding its third annual seminar at Pembroke College, Cambridge, on the 12th of June from 2 p.m. to 6:30. The topic will be Georgia's regional challenges. Deputy Foreign Minister will be there. Write them if you'd like to attend. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tpielpod@gmail.com or post to the form on our website, www.tpielpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1973, this is the patron saint of all C students from my high school, St. Mark's School of Texas. This is Steve Miller with Jet Airliner.
See you.